Private Correspondence by Nicholas Stark.
Aunt Tracy's coming down with a cold, I think. I've just packed her off to bed with some hot lemon and half an aspirin. You know how irritable she gets when she's ill. Wayne got into a fight with Gary Edwards on the way home from school. His trousers are all ripped at the knees. They're his best ones, too, because they're the school photos taken today. That's another £6 I've got to find. I'm sending a couple of photos with this, so you don't forget what we look like. There's that one of me and the kids that you took on the beach at Barry last summer, and the one of me you took after we got back from the club on our anniversary 2 years ago. I hope they let you keep it. Don't let anyone else see it, please. Mum's coming over Wednesday night to pick up Wayne and Tracy and take them over her and Dad's place until Thursday evening, so I have some time to myself. I'm going to have a bath and put my feet up and watch the telly. There's that documentary on the BBC about the police and supergrasses and everything which is quite funny, I suppose, when you think how things have turned out. Then Thursday morning I'll finish making myself beautiful for you. Ha ha. We've got a lot to talk about, Mickey. It's going to be a big one this time. That Steve Hughes, the probation officer who did the report with the judge fees, said that it could be as much as 10 or 12. I know you don't like him and that he's very young, but it's his job to know things like that. God knows, the kids will be grown up. Isn't there anything you could do to make it so you only get a 5 or maybe even less? I know that goes against the grain, Mickey, but I don't care what other people say. We could clear out and start somewhere new. Me and the kids need you. Still, I mustn't be a nagging wife. That's the last thing you want in there, I know. I've got to go now. Tracy's calling down for something. She still keeps asking when you're coming home. I sent Wayne up for some chips half an hour ago and he's still not back yet. If you spend the money on that Space Invaders in the office, I'll kill it. As you can see, everything is normal. Must go. I miss you. See you soon. All my love. Sheila.
For one?
Yes, please. That was delicious. I've had beef en croûte before, but never pork. What?
Pork. I just noticed your necklace.
My Star of David? Oh, don't worry. It was a present from Graham, my ex. He's a believer, notionally, anyway. If anything, I suppose you could call me a lapsed Catholic. But the last time I went to church was when I was 11.
Just over 10 years ago.
Thank you, kind sir. More like 20, I'm afraid.
Was, Graham Jewish?
He still is. Last I heard, he packed up his job at the advertising agency, took the first available flight to Tel Aviv, and now he's living on a kibbutz, growing oranges and taking pot shots at passing Palestinians. Or whatever it is they do for recreation out there in the desert. I certainly wouldn't have thought that there would have been much scope for his favourite sport.
What's that?
Infidelity.
Oh.
What about you? I couldn't help noticing your ring and a photograph on top of the bookshelf, tactfully turned to the wall.
We could do with you on the force. there's not much to tell, really. We married young, probably too young. The first few months were wonderful. Oh, I don't know. In those days, a young copper's job consisted of very long hours for very little pay. Not that things have changed all that much, of course. But even now, I can't work out what she expected being married to me. I don't think she knew herself. Well, whatever it wasn't to wait for me all alone in the police house, flipping through her glossy magazines, trying to pass the time until I got home from work. After 18 months, I came home from the graveyard shift and found a note sellotaped to the door of the fridge. Dear old Anne, she was never very imaginative about things. And a couple of years ago, she married one of the directors of a big trailer rental company, and last spring they moved into a quaint stockbroker Tudor in Gwent.
Is she happy now?
Oh, I expect so. She's done what she's always wanted to.
What do you mean?
Married money.
Oh, come on. Aren't you being a bit hard on her?
No. No, I don't think so. Stuffed peaches? More brandy?
I'd better not. I feel pleasantly mellow at the moment. Any more and I'll be drunk. Mm.
In that case, my dear, let me pour you a double.
Just more coffee, please. If I may.
Yes. I think I'd better join you. You know, this evening's the first time I've been home for 2 days. Murder inquiries have priority over sleep or a social life.
It's not that poor woman from the tower block out on Western Avenue, is it?
Mm.
The one who was stabbed to death?
It's the one. Mary Owen, 26 years old. The killing itself isn't the half of it. The press were only given an outline. Before he stabbed her, 45 times, he gagged her, tied her to the bed, burnt her with cigarettes, and raped her several times.
Oh, dear, sweet God.
Dad, I would be grateful if nothing I've told you finds its way into the papers either.
Martin, how could you? Have you ever read any issues of Femme?
No.
I thought not. You'd know how absurd your suspicions are. It's crammed with four-colour beauty adverts and deals almost entirely with either fashion stories or articles by American women detailing new techniques for achieving the perfect cosmic orgasm.
Mm. And what are your articles on?
And the Sunday I write reviews for does not deal with sensational vicious crimes. Not down market ones, anyway. Have you got any leads yet?
Nothing.
Aren't things like this often domestic? You know, the husband, boyfriend, or someone else close?
Well, 9 times out of 10, the murderer is the husband, wife, lover, or a close relative of the victim. Makes you wonder what love and families are all about, doesn't it?
Was she married? Have you interviewed the husband?
Yes, to both. But Mr. Owen has got a perfect alibi. He's in C Wing of Knox Road, halfway through a 2-year stretch for burglary I nicked him myself.
Lover?
Surprisingly, almost certainly not. Seems she was content to wait for him. Although, how she could stay loyal to a poisonous little rat like Trevor, I'll never know. He'd have traded her in for a bender any time if he was given half a chance.
A what?
Yeah, suspended sentence. For the last 8 months, Mary'd been working nights in a bakery over Newport Way, but she'd taken Monday night off because the next day she was due at Knox Road to see young Trevor. Neither the killer knew she'd be in that night, in which case it was someone pretty close, which I doubt, because all her family are over the water, and the few friends she did have seemed perfectly innocent. Or it was someone who picked her out at random, and it was her bad luck she took a night off from stuffing currant buns into cardboard boxes just to see a worthless lag of an old man. In which case, we're looking for a psycho, God help us. No. At this time of night, there's no way there can be anything but trouble. Boyd. Hello, George. It'd better be good. Yes. Okay. Get round as soon as you can. There's been another one.
Oh.
The woman was tortured, so it does look as if we've got a psycho after all. Well, I've got to go, Susan. Look, you've had quite a lot to drink. Not as much as I'd planned, I admit, but probably too much to drive back home to Kincaid tonight, especially with all the ice on the roads. Why don't you use the bed in the spare room? It's already made up.
You surprise me.
Well, I had hoped you wouldn't use it.
Do you mean your intentions weren't honourable?
Not entirely, no.
Okay. Thank you, I will.
Right. I'm going to be out all night, probably most of tomorrow, too. You'll find plenty of stuff in the kitchen for breakfast. If you don't feel like sleeping right now, you can always play with my new toy. I haven't recorded too many things yet. A few plays, a couple of films.
No Sweeney or professionals.
I don't like fairy tales. Oh, yes, there's all of Smiley's people. If you can understand it, can you leave me a note in the morning explaining it all?
I'll tape it to the refrigerator. Sorry. No soft porn?
Well, I've got a couple of cities over matches from the start of the season. They're pretty much ex-certificate stuff. That's for me. I'll ring you.
Bye.
bloody freezing. All right, George, who's ever details?
I'm not interrupting anything.
George.
Hey, it's not that version that Posh Stanley was chatting up on the phone the other day, is it?
I'd just love to see you call a bird to a face. Come on, give
it. Details.
Come on.
Right. Body is female, mid-30s. Documents in the house at 9 Partridge Road. Identifier as Mrs. Sheila Williams. Married with a couple of kids.
Uh-huh.
According to the report that was phoned in, she'd been gagged, tied to the bed, probably raped. The doctor was on his way when I bailed you. And she was badly cut up. Looks like this will make some pay.
What about the husband and kids?
I don't know. The house was empty. I expect we'll find out from the neighbours. Not much goes unnoticed around there. The local panda was going past in his rounds, so the front door wide open and the hall light on. Thought it was a bit odd in this weather, had a look inside. Called in at 11:22. Sorry, Gav. God, I hear urgent inquiries. Especially when it's brass monkey weather like this. Mrs. will be in bed. Probably keeping that young git from across the road walk. Walking around the Alpha. Mind you, I quite put the crack in his. She's a bit slappy. Oh, here we are. Scene of the crime. Oh, good. Terry Judd from Forensics is near.
He owes me a fiver. Terry.
Can we take pictures now, Doc?
Just one more moment. I almost finished.
Evening, sir.
It's all yours.
Please,
fine, you take this, please.
Yes, sir.
Keep that one outside, will you?
Oh, dear God. Oh, Doc.
Jesus Christ.
Looks like someone's thrown a bucket of blood over the bed.
Mm. Bastard must have been carving slices out of her while she was still alive.
What can you tell us, Doc?
Well, she was killed with a knife.
Terrific. Wonders of modern science.
You mean not a hatchet or a cleaver?
Exactly, a knife.
Excuse me, sir.
What do you got, Ray?
A letter, sir. Several, actually. On prison notepaper from Knox Road. It seems our old man was inside. Same as the first one.
Right. I'd like all the usual reports on my desk as soon as possible, please. Come on, George. Let's get back down to Nick. Right. We've got some phone calls to make. You need to draw on your reserves of tact and charm, George,
because we're going to be disturbing all those people who've grown used to snoozing through the night shift.
Oh, don't mention sleep. I'm knackered. Do you know when I started this duty? 6 o'clock this... Oh, God, yesterday morning.
No, I want a list of all the cons who've been released in the past, say, month.
Christ, God, there must be hundreds, thousands.
A special reference, of course, to Knox Road. Oh, and I suppose Swansea and Gloucester, since they're both very close.
Oh, they're all bloody nice.
Are you well, George? Just ring round and get things in motion. Tell them to put the answers on the telex or straight through to me on this extension, right?
Oh, right.
And use the collator's office for your calls. He'll be tucked up in bed, dreaming of his file cards and computer inputs.
Lucky old collator.
Then you can give Sally a treat. You can go home and see her.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and get us a coffee, will you?
Yeah, all right, Dominic.
Maggie? Come on, Maggie. Tear yourself away from the latest Mills and Boone or whatever it is young WPCs read nowadays. A story of what? Oh. Yeah, so see if you can raise someone for me at Knox Road, will you? I don't imagine there'll be anyone in the admin block, but try and get through to the night principal officer at the centre. Right. Tell him we want a complete location list throughout the whole of their sentences, remand and convicted, for Trevor James Owen and Michael Gwynn Williams. And when I say complete, I mean from day one of their sentences until last Monday morning. I want to know every inmate that both men have shared a cell with, even if it was only for a day. And I want cross-references of all the cons who shared with Owens and Williams' former cellmates. Got that? Yes, I know. You give the screws something to do apart from sleeping or watching stag films anyway. Yeah, it's for the murder inquiry. Tell the PO that. Might gee him up a bit. Yeah. Yeah, well, if you do have any problems getting results, then please inform him that I will personally make it my business to see that he's kicked out of his cozy little prison and will count himself lucky to spend the rest of his career locking up spotty little glue sniffers in us detention centre. Okay? Thank you, Maggie.
An ordinary, decent life. That's not so much to ask for, is it? I am fed up hiding every time the doorbell rings, knowing that it could always be the police or the rent man. You don't have to put up with the neighbours, all that gossiping behind my back. It even gets on my nerves going down the shop now, wondering if I'm going to meet someone else that you've robbed or cheated. It would be hard, very hard for me to wait for you this time. To be honest, I just don't want to. I found someone else that I'm interested in. He's got prospects, and we could have a real future together. I'm filing for divorce, and with your sentence and your record, I can't see that you'll be able to hold things up. I'll be packing my things tonight and tomorrow, and then I'm leaving town for good. You won't be able to find us when you get out, so please don't waste your time trying. If there are any problems, then please get in touch with my solicitor. It's Martin Gray at Adams and Drew in St. Mary Street. Thank God we never had kids. I'll drop the house keys round at your mum's place. You've worn her out too, Colin. I really do wish you all the best. But I don't want to know you any more. Julie.
Sorry I'm late, Cap. Oh, bloody hell.
Morning, George.
You've been smoking those French fags again. Jeez, you could cut the air in here with a knife. But only just. What a choice. Freezing or suffocation.
What's the score, then?
Who's favourite for the bright lights and rubber roses?
No one. Eh? There's no one who's recently been released and who shared a cell with either Williams or Rowan. Christ, I'm sure this bloke's going to kill again. Soon, probably.
Let me have a look at some of those printouts.
Austin, pick out a killer for you. Got a pin?
Yeah, I tried that. I got the name of the computer officer. And there's one who might just be worth talking to. He didn't share with Owen or Williams. But he was tooed up with a con called Stobart, who'd previously been in the same cell as Owen. Dyson, Markham, Francis. He got out a week ago after serving 7 out of 10. Armed robbery.
Did it tell at Knox Road? That's not a long term.
No. He served most of it in Dartmoor, but he came back to the road about 6 weeks ago for local release. Lives down in Splott, opposite the container berth. Know anything about him?
Not if he was weighed off 7 years ago. I was only just starting on the force then.
I couldn't place him either, so I had a chat with a DS who collared him, Dave Turnbull. He retired about 3 years ago.
Oh, that old fart. And what did he have to say?
He was a good, steady copper, George. According to him, Dyson's a stand-up villain. Someone grassed him up a few days after the job. It was a security van just outside Bristol. There were 3 others with him. Every one of them was tooled up. 2 sawn-offs, a Winchester pump, and our boy Frank was carrying a Schmeisser machine pistol. They could have started World War III if they wanted.
What happened to the other 3 cars?
They disappeared without trace. Dyson put his hands up, took his 10, and as far as we know, has never said anything about it to anyone.
Sounds like a tasty lad. I can't see him running around wasting other prisoners' bints, though. Especially with a blade. If he wanted someone off the scene permanently, I'd have thought he wouldn't start carving them up. He'd just blow them away. A machine pistol. And anyway, where's the profit in it for him? Neither Williams or Owen woman was robbed.
George, you don't need to tell me this is all a wild hunch, I know.
There again, prison can do funny things to people. You'd only have to start a sentence with the tiniest of grievances. Someone had grassed you up, say, and by the time we got out, it could have festered into something really malevolent and vicious. All that empty time in a closed space, then they're thinking about. Nothing to do but build up hatred. You never know. It could easily be enough to turn a shrewd pro-villain into a random killer.
Well, let's find out. Nip down to the desk and get an obo out on him, will you? His address is 234 Britannia Court. It's his own flat. Probably bought it with the proceeds of one of the jobs we never nicked him for, so I expect he'll still be based there.
How much did they get on that security van job?
A little over 80 grand. So, even if Dyson's mates didn't invest it for him, he's still got 20 coming to him. Which I think he'd be quite hungry for it after several years.
Let's forget about the killings that go after the money, eh? If you only get Dyson's share, that'll be 10 grand apiece. All right, 60-40 then. Right, I'll get that obo put out then.
Thank you, George. Look, if anyone wants me, I'll be at home. I'm going to sneak a shave and a change of clothes.
Be back in about an hour.
Yeah,
all right, Cuff.
Good morning. Features, please. Hello? Could I speak to Susan Redding? Oh, no, I've just phoned there. They suggested I call you. Yes, I tried there, too. No, never mind, no. No, thanks. No message.
Turner?
Morning, sir.
What are you doing here?
Sorry to bother you. They've been trying to ring you from the station, but Maggie could only get the engaged tone. There's been another murder.
Oh, Jesus.
You got your car?
Yes, sir.
Come on, then. Mine's off the road. You can give me a lift.
Busy down here, Gov. The press lads have arrived already.
That bastard again.
Yeah, let me echo. Inspector Boyd, just a brief here.
Thank you very much. Sorry,
sir. Looks just like the first two. Lewis, over here.
George, Inspector. First signs are it's the same bloke, sir. The woman was gagged and tortured. Cigarette burns, multiple stab wounds.
Oh, dear God.
It looks like a slaughterhouse in there. Smells like one, too. Neighbour, Julie Stobbers.
I checked all the printouts you've been working on before I left the factory. Our old man's inside, and he's the guy that cleared a cell with Dyson. That turn stretch must have tipped him over the edge.
And I suppose there are any witnesses this time either, are there?
Oh, luck must be changing. There's an old dear lives across the road, number 42 over there. She's a widow. Sits in her armchair all day, twitching the net curtains. According to her, Mrs. Stobbart had a visitor at 7:45 last night. She knows the time because she was just drinking a cup of cocoa before going to bed. She's got the same routine every day. She describes the visitor as a large, thick-set man with cropped, graying hair. Very pale, as if he didn't get enough fresh air.
Well, well.
He stayed for about half an hour, then drove away in an oldish, dark blue Volvo. She didn't make the ridge, but she did notice that there was one of those little plastic skeletons hanging in the rear window. I showed her Dyson's pre-release mugshot. She's positive it was him. He must be building up some kind of momentum. Two in one night. That Williams tart...
Brooke.
Mrs. Williams could only have been killed an hour or so after this one.
Who found her?
A fancy man. Mr. Gerald Davis. He's a sales rep for a double glazing outfit in Barry. He came around here about an hour ago. They were meant to be going away together. He's in the house now if you want to speak with him. But you'd better be quick, Inspector. He raided the drinks cabinet after he found her. Started on the sherry, and now he's polishing off some Greek brandy. He'll have dissolved into a puddle before too long.
Have you got a statement from him?
I did. Not that he could tell us much. He's probably in shock. I think he genuinely liked her.
That's been known to happen, but... Let's leave the poor sod to drink himself into oblivion. What about the house to house, Paul?
All in hand, Gov.
Right, come on, George. Let's go and drag Dave Turnbull off his allotment, see if he can remember any of Dyson's old haunts.
Right behind you, Gov.
Come on, come on.
And then there's the ship. But they tarted it up while he was away. Probably not of his taste, no. You could try the Key Club or the snooker hall down by Dock Gate 4. I used to spend a lot of time in there.
Right. Well, that's plenty to be going on with, Dave. Thanks.
My pleasure. Glad to be able to help out a bit. These past couple of years, my greatest excitement has been not knowing whether the frost's going to get my early veg.
You miss it? The force?
Well, I miss the way it used to be in the old days, but I'm glad I handed in my papers when I did. Nowadays, all the young bobbies want to act like Starsky and Hutch. Or worse.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I sometimes think if you put me in a room with a team of lads from RCS and a bunch of villains, I'd be hard-pressed to tell one lot from the other. Except the villains would be better dressed, of course.
Yeah. Are you going to stick it?
Yeah, expect so. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah, your detective sergeant's in a hurry.
Nah, if it's anything vital, he'd walk over. Brought us to slip off to the Bell for a swift off. Yeah, he's been going in there regularly for the past month. They've got a topless barmaid there now, pulling pints in the public.
I can remember when the Bell was brown ale, darts and dumb.
Yeah, that's the trouble, Dave, so can I.
Well, I dare say the tits and pictures will seem tame in a few years' time. Look, son, before you go, a word of advice.
Yeah?
Walk easy around this lad Dyson, right? He's a very capable villain. Leastways, he always was. I can't see that 7 years inside will have softened him up any.
Sure.
Mind you, I'd never have placed him for a do like this. He was a pro. Well, pros don't usually get afflicted by bloodlust. There's no money in it. Dyson would hurt people, but only if he had to.
Yeah, I know. I get the same feeling. But it's got to be someone connected with the Three Cons, otherwise.
Going to be.
Probably someone with inside information, you know, the sort of thing that could be picked up by listening to talk on the exercise yard, or even more when sharing a cell.
Yeah.
Well, he was due for a pull just for routine, what with being released from there so recently, but after last night with a positive ID. Anyway, the time I started trying to find him. Well, thanks again, lad.
Don't bother, lad. Drop in any time. Always glad of a chat.
Cheers.
Cheers.
slept?
One of the water holes in Carbridge Road and the Key Club. It's a waste of time trying Carbridge Road until tonight. Yeah. Go straight over to them.
Pauline!
What?
Pauline!
What is it?
Up there, on the right.
A dark blue Volvo, complete with skeleton in the rear window, parked outside the Pop Black Club. Call in and get some backup. I want it here fast.
I'll go in there and see if I get him up quietly.
Tango 3, Delta 2. Tango 3, Delta 2. Come in.
Yes, sir.
Large brandy, please.
Large brandy, sir.
How much is that?
1.26.
£1.26. Exactly.
Here we go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
What's the need of that? You had a nasty shock?
No, a nasty accident. Just went into the back of a car outside. There was a bloody dog running across the road. I came in here because I thought the car might belong to one of your punters.
Well, give me the make and number and I'll put it out for the tie.
It's the dark blue Volvo SEB273R.
Oh, that's Franska. Hey, wait a minute. You're the filth.
Just get him over here and do it now.
Frank, it's your motor.
My car.
Can you come and have a word with this guy?
Something about my car?
Yes, mate. Look, I'm sorry. I've got into the back of it. I should have run the bloody dog over.
Yeah, you should have.
Here's my insurance company. Now, if you give me yours, we can let them sort it out.
Well, how much damage have you done? I need that.
It's the boot, mate. Look, you'll still be able to drive it round, I think.
Bloody nuisance. Let's go outside and have a look at it.
Right.
Looks all right from here. Where's your car?
I managed to get it around the corner.
And where's the damage then? Hey, listen, mate, what's your bloody game?
Get him out! Stay where you are, Tyson!
All right, well done, lads. Let's get him back in the van and down to Nick.
Come on, eat that!
I still can't believe how easy it all was. I expected a good punch up at the knees.
Bringing him in is one thing, getting the truth from him is another entirely.
Can we turn this alone with him downstairs and ask him if he's
talking? It's into questioning, George, no more, no less.
Come off it,
George. Oh, better. Apart from being upset about the little trick I played on him, he's not exactly acting like a bloke who's chopped up three women in the past couple of days, is he?
Come on, Gav, you know better than that. You can never tell with Sarkos. What about that one a few years ago? Strangled his missus because she wanted to watch the Desert Connor show and he didn't. Spent the next 50 minutes watching Softly Softly. Made herself a pot of tea and then called us in, calm as you like. But I thought he could have copped a plea of justifiable homicide, being that that was Desert Connor. But still, no. Dyson's old man. I can smell it.
Yeah, well, let's wait until we have a chat with him, shall we?
Go.
Where's George?
Why do you go through this old wash and brush up business every time you've got somebody for questioning?
I don't know. Never thought about it. Just part of the routine, I suppose. I mean, even if a man is guilty, I don't enjoy breaking all the lies, feigned anger, and tired old tricks.
You were going soft.
I said that I didn't like it, George. Not that I wouldn't carry on doing it.
Inspector, before you're going to see him, we've just had the fingerprint report through from the Storbart killing. They found dabs for Julie Storbart, Gerald Davies, and Malcolm Francis Dyson.
Thanks, Pete. Good work.
I told you, didn't I? This bastard's going to be on granite for the rest of his natural.
Okay, Turner. Why don't you grab a coffee break? Detective Sergeant Brooke will take notes.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Don.
Now then, Mr. Dyson. Good to see you again.
I suppose you're feeling pretty chuffed with yourself after that little stunt back at the club. I must be getting old. I used to be able to sniff out the filth a mile off.
How's life treating you, anyway? What's it now, 2-3 weeks you've been out?
10 days, as if you didn't know. You want a take?
What?
Woolen mohair, that suit, isn't it? There's no way you can afford a dress like that without having a few earners on the side.
I see. No, actually, no. I haven't had a holiday for a few years. I enjoy my work too much. But it's nice to see you haven't lost your sense of humour, though. You're going to need it. Do you know why you're here, Malcolm?
Frank. The name's Frank. No, I don't know why I'm here. I suppose it's just routine police harassment of an innocent ex-convict who has fully paid his debt to society.
Most eloquent. I am impressed. But there again, you have had 7 years to prepare your little speech, haven't you? What were you doing Monday night, Frank?
What's it to you? I'm not out on parole, you know. I did my full whack and a few weeks on top. I'm not responsible to anyone. Probation officers, social workers, none of that.
What about last night? What were you doing then?
Look, what's it all about?
But don't get metaphysical with me, Frank. What? You don't reply to my questions with questions of your own. You give me answers. Or at least you do if you want to see daylight again in the next 25 years. It is murder. Three of them. In fact, some nasty, twisted little sadist has been going round carving up women, and by a strange coincidence, all three of them were the wives of inmates at Knox Road, who you could have known. In one case, did know, while you were finishing off your little holiday at the taxpayer's expense. We thought you might be able to help us with our inquiries.
Murder? Sex murders?
How did you know there were sex murders?
Oh, leave it out. You know my form. Blags, that's all I do. All right, tooled up if necessary, but nothing more.
Listen, Frank. Now, I've been getting a lot of heat from upstairs on this one. Now, Cardiff's a reasonably nice city. Crime rate's getting worse, of course, but it's not too bad. 4, 5, maybe half a dozen murders a year, and most of those get knocked down to manslaughter. Crimes of passion. You know the sort of thing. Hubby comes home unexpectedly, finds his wife in bed, paying off the rent arrears. My client temporarily lost his mind, Your Honour, a fit of jealous rage. He is a previous exemplary character, blah, blah. Because it was only his wife he killed. Hubby gets 5 years, the last two of them in an open nick. But there won't be an open nick for you, nor a cozy little fire stretch. You're going to get life. I reckon it would be recommended 25, maybe even 30. How old will you be in 25 years' time, Frank? 63? 64? Where do you think you'll do it, George?
Duff?
Over on the island? Or that new long-termers place up in Durham?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet it gets cold up there in the winter. Oh, 25 of them, in fact. I've got to clear this up somehow, Frank, and quickly. You see, if I don't bring a body in soon, I'm going to find myself back down the docks on Point Jimmy.
Listen, Boyd, I won't have it to you. If you think I'm going to sit still while you light me up just so you can clear your books, you've got another thing coming. I want a lawyer.
Stop it, Frank. Last night, we've got witnesses who'll stand up in court and positively identify you. We've got your fingerprints in her living room, and with your record, we're not going to need much more. Now, you're not going to start performing, are you, Frank? There are 4 locked doors and about 30 coppers between you and the street. You're not going anywhere. All right, sit down, George.
Yeah.
You know, if I were you, Frank, I'd start thinking of saving my own skin.
Are you saying that Stobbart's missus is dead?
In a word, yes.
Oh, Christ, look. Just because I shared a tam with her old man in the house...
Look. Why don't we try again from the top, eh? What were you doing on Monday night?
What time?
Oh, say between 6 and 11.
I was in a boozer the whole time. From when he opened up until he chucked us out.
Uh-huh. Which one?
The bell down the bottom of town. They got this...
Yes, I know. What about witnesses?
Yeah, there were a few people down there who knew me from the old days. There's the landlord and all. He'll remember me for definite. He threatened to throw me out a couple of times for making too much noise. Toe rag.
What did you do after closing time?
Went for a chinky notch down the riverside.
Which one?
What do you mean?
There are 2, Dyson.
The one off Tudor Road.
Okay, who are you with? Or did you go on your own?
Nope. I took the barmaid from the bell with me.
Bloody hell.
We had some food. Then she came back to my place.
What time did she go?
She stayed all night. Mm-hmm. Until 7, anyway. She had to get back home before her old man was in off the night shift.
Her name?
Debbie something. Ask the landlord.
We will. What about last night, between 5 and midnight?
I went for a steak down the Broadway. I was on my own, but the waitress will remember me. I gave her a big tip.
How long were you there?
Well, I got there about 5:30 and stayed till about 6:45. Lovely little thing she was. 7 years is a long time.
Yeah, all right. Where'd you go after the steak bar?
I drove down to that pub up Whitchurch Way for a couple. You know, the one that's all done up with pictures from the Old West.
Yeah, I know it. How long did you stay there?
Well, I told you, didn't I? A couple of pints. Maybe 20 minutes. Then I went over to this Stobbart woman's place. Look, I swear on my mother's grave, she was still alive when I left her. She was packing up all her gear, clothes and things.
When did you get there?
Oh, I don't know. Half seven, 7:45. If you've got witnesses, you know that. You won't catch me out, Boyd. I've got nothing to hide.
Why did you go and see her, Frank? Did you know her from before you went down the last time?
No. I know it sounds daft, but her old man, Colin, asked me to. I was tooed up with him for the last couple of weeks that I was away. Why don't you ask him?
Oh, yeah, we will, we will. We'll do that, yeah. We just haven't got around to seeing him yet. You see, we were too busy looking for you. Why did he want you to see her? What, to check up on her? See if she'd found herself a new fella? Perhaps, lean on her a bit?
No. He asked me to see her because he was worried about her having it away on her toes. You know, packing up and leaving him. Turns out he was right to be worried. She was going away today. He knew things were getting a bit iffy between them. She was hardly writing any letters. She hadn't used the last VO to come up and see him, that sort of thing. He was going crazy. You know the way cons start worrying when they're banged up and their birds are out on the loose? Well, he knew I was getting out soon, and he kept on at me to go and see her. He wanted me to persuade her to come up to the Nick and see him, give him one last chance. Bloody pathetic, I reckon. Well, I didn't fancy it, but he kept on every night after lights out. He was winding me up something chronic, I can tell you.
So you cracked, did you?
No.
Oh, Stobart strong-armed you then, Frank, eh? What a big strong lad.
Will you listen? I'm trying to tell you, ain't I? He put me in the same cell as him after I just got out the block. 14 days all round for refusing an order. So I was skint. I had no burn, nothing. And after a while, he offered me an ounce there and then if I promised to go and see his missus after I got out. Bloody mug. I could have taken his snout and done nothing about it. He was really desperate. I wish I'd never bothered.
What happened when you went round there?
He gave me a stiff to take out and give to her. He wrote it on a few fag papers stuck together. Then he folded it up and I stashed it in my radio behind the batteries. She never even looked, Burks. Anyway, last night I gave her the note and told her how sick her old man was. She didn't want to know. He's better off without her.
Oh, yeah?
Look, I left her after about half an hour. She was fine, I swear.
On your mother's grave, I know. So you left around 8:15, eh? Where'd you go after that?
To the Pot Black, where you picked me up this morning.
How long for?
Well, until it closed, just before 1. Look, I've answered all your questions. Can't I go now? I'm meeting that barmaid again. Debbie, it's her day off.
Come on, Frank. You know better than that. Look, have a few hours keeping one of the cells. You'll be out soon enough if everything checks out. Fancy some food?
We could probably rustle you up some egg and chips from the canteen.
Ah.
Right, let's get you downstairs then. You know the way.
Bloody do it, did he? Damn.
It does look like the boss is clear.
Christ, George, we're getting nowhere like this.
He does fit the bill, though.
I'll ignore that, George. You've been watching too much telly. Look, I want you to go to the Bell, have a chat with the landlord, then find out the address of this woman, Debbie, and check Dyson's story with her.
Well.
A chat, George. Not a grope or a private viewing, and for God's sake, if her husband's there, show a degree of tact, will you? Sounds as if they've got enough joy in each other's company as it is without you stirring it up about her and Dyson, or you staking her claim.
I'll only cop a quick feel if her old man's not looking, eh?
If you do, I hope she prosecutes you for assault. Look, since you're so obviously for revenge, you could have a look at the State Bar as well. See if the waitress remembers Dyson's debonair charm.
Oh, have a heart.
Quick as you can, George.
I'll just step down the canteen first for quick coffee, okay?
Right.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. I shall be holding another conference in the morning.
Stop it. Old Bailey's smiling, that always means trouble. I'll see you later.
Right.
Yes, yes, very confident. I, Inspector Boyd.
Sir? My office. 2 minutes.
Right, sir.
One more, please. Yes, all right, just one more picture, then. Make sure you get my best time. Thank
you. Sit down, Boyd.
Sir?
Yeah, I always feel like I've gone 10 rounds to the ranked heavyweight after standing up in front of that lot. There ought to be a law against press conferences. Scott?
No, thanks.
How's this fellow Dyson shaping? Have you got enough on it to make it stick?
Looks like we've drawn a blank. George Brooke is out verifying his statement now, but I expect it to stand up.
Ah, damn. I understood the indications were very positive. I was counting on getting this cleared up quickly.
His name only came up in the first place through Method Index. It wasn't much more than a stab in the dark, really.
An unfortunate choice of phrase, Inspector. Look, there is considerable disquiet at Division over this one. We're looking bad. Something we can ill afford.
especially at the moment. I don't need to tell you the press is really going to town. The bar at the Royal is so full of hacks you'd think it was Belfast or Beirut, not Cardiff. We need desperately to boost our public image. It's fast becoming a question of credibility. Look, Martin, we've had our differences in the past. Your methods have been somewhat unorthodox on occasions, but we're on the same side. And we've got a chance here, while we're in the public eye, to do ourselves a bit of good. I don't think you fully realize the importance of this case to me. The last thing I need at the moment is a string of unsolved murders on my patch by some crazed sex fiend. As I'm sure you will appreciate, I am in a very delicate publicity situation.
Oh, yes, sir, I can appreciate that. Well, now I know it's more than just a simple hunt for a man who's raped, tortured and killed three women, I'll make sure that efforts are doubled to find him.
No, don't just spark with me, Boyd. Let me spell something out for you. I don't like this clever attitude that's creeping in. I don't like your almost complete disregard for the rules. We're none of us bigger than the force, Inspector. And what this force needs now is to catch this maniac. And to catch him by the established procedures, correctly followed and conspicuously so. Good, solid, routine police work. In the public eye. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir.
And an arrest. Soon. Bring me in someone I can charge with these murders, Boyd.
Dear Boyd. Hello, George. How'd it go? Yeah, I thought as much. No. Write it up in the morning. There's no sense in you coming back now. Oh, and George, any time in the next couple of days when you've got half an hour to spare, see what you can dig up about the Pot Black Club. Dyson became a bit evasive when he got onto that subject. Yes, I know. We've still got to catch this knife merchant. The Old Bailey was keen to impress that upon me just after you shot off at the speed of light. But until we get a break, we're reduced to routine. Yeah. Lots of bodies asking lots of questions. No, I can't keep Dyson in the cells overnight so you can go and see his barmaid. Goodbye, George. Maggie? Ah, good. I want you to ring the prison again for me. Yeah, I'd like special visits arranged so that I can see Trevor Owen, Michael Williams, Colin Stobbard, and Paul Savarin, Savarin. Got all those? Good. Yeah, and tell the people up there it's urgent. I want the visits as soon as possible, right?
The last one's on his way, Inspector. And here are the photocopies you wanted of those letters.
Thanks.
I shouldn't think there's much in there for you. Most of them have trouble signing their own name.
Mm-hmm.
The letters. Illiterate rubbish, most of them.
I'm looking for clues, not literally a lamp.
Yeah, well, you're making much progress finding this bloke?
No, not yet, but we'll catch him.
You sound very sure.
They make a mistake, they always do. It's just a matter of time.
It is.
Hello, Paul.
Morning.
Look, is it all right if we have a bit of privacy in here?
I'll leave you then, Inspector.
Spoke?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Have we been in touch yet about the day of your trial?
No.
You'll probably get a letter tomorrow. I was notified yesterday. You're up at Cardiff Crown in a couple of weeks' time, the 14th.
Good. I'll be glad to get it out of the way.
The judge is Mr. Tudor Davis.
Oh, bloody hell. He's the worst on the circuit. It was him who handed out my first one 6 years ago. He gave me 12 months. Told me how lucky I was to have caught him on a good day. And if he ever saw me again, he'd throw the book at me. Oh, I'll probably end up with an handful this time.
If you do get fired, you might have had yourself lucky. His house was broken into about a month ago, and they ransacked the place.
Oh.
Yes. He's not going to be very pleased with anyone appearing on burglary charges. And if they've been up in front of him before, well...
Leave it out, Mr. Boyd. I was meant to be getting married next spring. Can't see a wing for me through a fire.
Oh, why in God's name did you start up again? You've been clean for a couple of years.
Yeah, ever since I met this girl. She doesn't like me breathing. When we started going out, she said I could either pack it in or find myself another girlfriend. Why don't we start these screwing houses again so I could get some money together for after the wedding? Get us off to a good start.
I don't know who needs protecting the most. The public from the likes of you or you from yourself. You always get caught, don't you?
It's just bad luck. That's all, Mr. Boyle.
Listen, I need some help with a murder inquiry.
Murder?
Now, don't panic. God, no wonder you always get collared. As I was saying, I need help, and it's got to be from a cop.
Oh, no. I don't care how long I'm facing, I won't grasp. You should know better than that. Look, can I go now?
Sit down, Paul. It doesn't involve grasping on anybody, you have my word. Now, if you help me out, I'll see what I can do for you. No promises, but I'll try. Go on. Take some snipe for later. I've got another packet.
So, what would I have to do?
Right. Now it'll involve your girlfriend as well.
Why couldn't you have talked to me about it? You should have known that money and things aren't any good to me if I can't have you. Everything was going so well. Oh, I'm sorry if this doesn't make too good, but oh, I really do feel pretty ropey. Oh, I'll have to stop now, love. I'm going to have a bath and then go back to bed. I'll write a proper letter tomorrow. Dr. Cook has given me 3 days off work, so I'll have plenty of time to write you pages and pages. I love you always. Caroline. Lounge. I've been in bed most of the day, flu or something. I only got up to write a letter to Paul and to have a bath.
Well, I won't keep you long then. It's about your letters that I wanted to speak to you, as a matter of fact.
Oh. That's horrible. What do you really think?
Well, I don't know, but it could be. Frankly, we've got so few real leads that I think anything's worth a try.
What do you want me to do?
Well, just put the postscript saying that you'll be staying in for the next couple of days because of your flu, but that you'll be up to see him as soon as you can, something like that.
Oh, I've more or less said that already. I only finished writing a few minutes before you called.
Oh, that's fine then. Oh, have you got a photograph of yourself that you could put in the envelope? You see, if I'm right, that's just the sort of little touch which could make it work.
Well, I have got a few. Well, they're a bit sort of private, really. See, what happened was, a few weeks before he was arrested, Paul won the monthly raffle in the pub, you know. And first prize was one of those Winston camera things.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he took the pictures with that. Do you see?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I can understand your reluctance, but that really would be perfect. Look, why don't you pick one of them and pop it into an envelope and seal up the whole thing?
Oh, well, if you're sure this is going to do any good. Let me see in here somewhere. Here they are. Oh, God, my face is going scarlet. Do you know, I wasn't even drunk at the time. Let me see. This one's a bit more respectable than the others. Oh, I hope this is worth it, Inspector.
Yeah, so do I.
Well, here you are. Signed and sealed.
Thank you. I'll take it out of the main sorting office myself, you know, to make sure it's processed as soon as possible.
All of a sudden, I feel very scared.
Come on, Gav, look, I'm sorry.
Never mind, George. Morning. Sit down.
I found out a bit about the Pot Black Lab, the place Dyson was to cage you about.
And?
As you'd expect, a bit of a dive, but not as bad as some. A few villains go in there, no one too heavy, though. Two owners, an Owen Thomas Elliot and a John O'Shea. Elliot's got a little bit of fall, a couple of TDAs when he was a kid, and one count of ABH 12 years ago.
O'Shea's never been convicted of anything, but in 69, he was pulled in on a conspiracy to rob charge. Nothing came of it. Oh, yeah, booked for speeding, 1972.
Oh, big deal.
Yeah. They bought the pot black just over 6 years ago. By all accounts, they're getting a good profit out of it. That's all I could find. Do you want me to do some more digging?
No, no. Nice work, George, but leave it for now. 6 years ago, eh? Could we found two more of the lads from the security van job with Dyson? Oh. Good, good. So, we'll leave it on the back burner for a while. I shouldn't think our little O'Shea will be rushing anywhere. We are, though. Come on, let's get down to the armory and get you issued with the shoes, then.
Christ, what for?
I'll tell you on my way. Same right here. Study paperwork. And here.
Come the revolution, mate, we're going to be overwhelmed while we're still signing forms in bloody triplicates.
And what's more, yeah. That's it. Good hunting.
So he writes to her, slagging her off, saying that his search has been going around spreading her legs to all kinds, eh? And at the same time, she sends a letter saying how much she loves and misses him. Tears on my pillow crap, right? And mentions that she's ill and will be home for a few days, yeah? All week and alone. Is that right?
Well, you put it much more eloquently than me, George, but more or less, yeah.
It's a hell of a gamble.
Yeah, well, of course it is, but we've got damn all else to go on, have we?
Well, surprised the old birdie went along with it. Not exactly according to the book, this plan, is it?
No, it's not, and, he didn't.
What?
He didn't go along with it. He knows nothing about it.
What about the sanction for the arms issue? He's got to authorise that.
Well, you know what his writing's like? It's an illegible scrawl at the best of times.
You bloody hell, you tricky sod. Sir, if anything goes wrong with this, we're really going to be...
I will, George. You're just following orders. Well, as far as you know, everything's official.
A promotion board in a couple of months' time, isn't it? This could really put the carnage on it.
Come on. We both know I'm not going any higher than D.I., George. Look, I want to nail this killer before he hurts anyone else. Tonight, if we can.
We wasted too much time finding each other. Now we have. Do you really think I'll let you go that easily? When I say I love you, it's not just something to say, you know. I mean it with all my heart and soul. It's only when something like this happens that you realize what the important things in life are and how much you really care about someone. I love you, Gary, and I want to spend all my life with you.
Everybody was pretty drunk, even me. That Derek from sales tried his luck. I must have told you before what he's like. Hands everywhere. I soon told him where to get off. You know me. I speak as I find. Always have done, always will. The rest of the blokes at work have been fine. They all know what the score is. They reckon you must be someone pretty special for me to wait for you. They're right. Please don't let yourself get fed up, love. Next Tuesday will be 4 months gone already. Only another 20 to go.
But I'm going to try. I'm very sorry, love, but I'm not going to see you anymore. I told you on the visit my feelings have changed.
Anybody want any more coffee?
Not for me, thanks.
No, thanks, sir. Any more would be coming in my ears. Don't want to get caught short if our friend arrives. Could be embarrassing.
Do you think he'll turn up, Inspector?
Well, we don't know. I'm just assuming there's some sort of pattern to the killer's behaviour. What's the time? Oh, we'll give it another couple of hours, and if nothing's happened, we'll call it off till tomorrow.
Oh, I don't think I could go through this again. I've never been so nervous in my life. I know it was a stupid thing to do, but I miss you so much, and I just felt everything was getting on top of me. The kids, and then the police coming round again with another warrant. They turned the place upside down. Mrs. Kelly came in and straightened things up while I was at the hospital. The doctors up there said they wouldn't let me have any more tranquilizers. Not surprising, really, I suppose.
Well, I didn't think it was very funny. I take the day off work, travel all the way over town, changing buses 3 bloody times. I try to make myself look nice for you. And then when we have the visit, you behave like that. 60 minutes of you either moaning about how hard things are for you or accusing me of God knows what. 1 hour a month is bad enough at the best of times. But when he behaves like that, it makes me wonder why I bothers at all. Bet the other girls don't have to put up with that sort of thing from their blokes. You are so bloody selfish. It's not just you that's affected when you're away, you know. You and Mum's been in and out of the doctors ever since the trial, and you know what my nerves have been like. At the moment, I don't know if I'll be coming over next month. I don't know if it's worth it. I'll still write if you want, but I don't even find that too easy. I suppose it's different for you, but I don't like having to put personal things in a letter, knowing that someone else is going to read it before you get it.
Got your letter this morning. It must have been ever so difficult for you to write. When I read it, it was the first time I cracked. Darling, I told you on Friday, and I tell you again now. I will wait for you. I know it's going to be very difficult and painful, but I believe in us and our love, and there is no way on earth that I want to let it slip away. I want you to keep believing in us and not to give up hope, because eventually we will be together, and nothing will ever come between us again. Just trust me.
Find you open the window, George. Get some of this cigarette smoke down.
Good idea.
Yeah, might wake us up a bit too.
Oh God, I was meant to be getting it up, you know. Fat chance of that with all this going on.
All right, on the chair. You know what to do, George. Get behind the kitchen door now, Caroline. Don't open the front door until I give you the nod. I'll be in the entrance to the bedroom, and remember, he may draw his knife as soon as he gets in, so stand well back. All right, don't panic, will you? Right behind you.
So, we need to borrow some sugar, I hope.
Mr. Stone?
Yes?
My name's Jensen. I'm from the Prison Welfare Department at Knox Road. I've got some news about your boyfriend, Paul Sovereign.
Oh, yes?
Well, do you think I could come in for a few minutes? It's freezing out here. It won't take long.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Come in.
Sorry it's so late. I've had so many people to see tonight. Right, you.
Bitch! What, please? Drop a knife.
Huh?
There's a magnum into the back of your skull. Now drop that knife. Drop it. That's better. Get in close, George. Cover him while I put the cuffs on. On the floor, Harris. Face down. Now.
You bastard. One move, I'll throw your brains all over the walls.
George, I'm climbing! George, easy. You, put your hands behind your back. Come on. You stay exactly where you are. My sergeant won't need much of an excuse, so don't give him one. Keep him covered, George. Yeah. If he moves, shoot him. Oh, and formally advise him of his rights, will you?
I'm arresting you. You're not obliged to say anything. Anything you do, say, maybe taking down your rifle, maybe using evidence against him.
Okay, have you got a new drink in our house? Would you like one?
No. I think
they'd
be...
Okay, look, I'll phone the station and ask a WPC to sit with you for a while. As soon as she gets here, we can get him out of here. You did just fine. Thank you.
No dark cell, full of coppers with the sleeves rolled up.
Might be the way you work, Harris, but I don't.
What happens now?
What happens now is that you start to do what you're told without asking questions. It's something you'd better get used to. You can begin by emptying your pockets. Everything. Log all this, please, George. Watch closely, Harris. I don't want you claiming we planted anything.
One key ring, 3 keys, 1 imitation leather wallet containing 2 £10 notes and 4 singles. Driver's license. Membership card, Prison Officers Association. Jeez. A sheet of paper. Prison stationery with a list of names. Mary Owen, Sheila Williams, Julie Stobart, Caroline Stone.
Oh, well. I don't think this is going to take too long. Now then.
Susan Phillips, Anne Foley, Nestor Lloyd, Sally Burton.
My God.
One membership card. Perfume Garden Oriental Cinema Club. One envelope containing... Well, 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 well. You dirty old bugger, you. Various photographs. There's seven in all. Looks like he lifted them out of the letters he was censoring. Yeah, no wonder the blokes are inside. They probably need a break. There's one of that bird from this evening. Caroline. Pink suits her. Oh, yes. Now, look at this. Not many of those two have found.
Get out, George.
Huh?
You have to get out. Just go and make some coffee.
What? Anyway, no, turn it.
Look, just go.
Bloody hell.
What the...
The property can be finished off later on, Turner.
I want you taking notes.
Yes, sir.
What's it going to be then, Harris? You're going to give me a statement now? Or do we have to go through the whole charade of lies and silences for a few more hours or days?
Would it make any difference if I cooperate?
Oh, none whatsoever. We both know you can say goodbye to the 20th century. You'll be lucky if you ever get out.
Okay, I'll give you a statement.
Why? Why did you do it? You even know?
Have you got any idea what that place is like? It's a bloody madhouse. The only thing that scum understands is brute force. Given the chance, they'd walk all over you. When I'm on the landing, they do as they're told. First time, too, I can tell you.
There are plenty of screws who don't like cons, but they don't go around killing their wives or girlfriends.
The women are just as bad. Worse. Whores. The lot of them. You should see their letters. Then you'd understand. From them, you'd think all they did was visit aged aunts and go out with the girls once a week to the bingo. It's obvious what they get up to. It made me sick having to read them all day, every day.
I've seen your work file at the road. You specifically requested an extension of your duty as censor. If you found it all so loathsome, why did you go back for more?
You wouldn't understand. I told you. They're whores. The lot of them.
You sadistic creep! Open the window, Turner. Let's get some fresh air in here.
Sure.
Why did your wife leave you, Harris?
What? What's that got to do with this? Do you want a statement or not?
All in good time. Now, that's the one thing you've got plenty of. Of course. You know what it's going to be like for you inside, don't you?
Nothing that I can't handle.
The cons are going to hate you because you used to be a screw. Because you raped and tortured the women. Because they were the wives of other cons. You'll never survive the sentence. They'll tear you apart. Oh, and you won't be able to expect any help from the screws. They won't like you either. They'll just walk away when the beatings start.
I'll be on 43.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you'll be in protective isolation, all right. Along with the rapists, the child molesters, the terrorists, the grasses, the cons who owe the tobacco barons, they love you because they'll have finally found someone who's lower than themselves in the pecking order. There will be no one lower than you, Harris. Or you might have to wait 5 or even 10 years. But one day, there's going to be a knife in your back.
Do you think that worries me? What about you, Inspector? I suppose you're fearless, eh? Nothing frightens you.
What frightens me, Harris, is you and all the tired excuses for degradation and violence.
I told you, they deserved it. Every one of them. If they ever let me out, I'll do it all again.
Right. Let's get a formal statement, shall we?
Hey, Martin!
Hello, Susan.
You were miles away. Where are you going? I'll give you a lift.
Home.
That's right over the other side of town. It'll take you hours.
No, no. Walk will do me good.
Rubbish. You look all in. Come on back to King Coyd. I'll make you gallons of coffee and cook you breakfast.
It's the best offer I've had all day.
That's right. As soon as that stuff out, put it in the back.
How'd you do this belt up?
Down here.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? I've been ringing your flat for days. I can never catch you at home.
Yeah, well, hardly been there. It was that murder inquiry I was telling you about.
I thought that was all over. There was something on the radio the night before last about a man being taken in for questioning.
Yeah, that was my super jumping the gun. We pulled in the wrong man.
Oh.
But I got the right one last time.
Good.
Red-handed, almost literally. I just finished taking a statement and writing my report.
Yes, I'm very happy about it all.
Well, not too much to be happy about with this case. Three women mutilated and murdered. A fourth, half scared out of her wits when I used to trap the killer.
Who was it?
A man called Harris, a prison officer. He was one of the censors.
What?
One of the censors. You see, in every prison, all the mail, incoming and outgoing, has to be read by a prison officer. For security reasons, officially.
Oh. I see. So that's how he knew when they would be on their own, when it was safe.
Yeah. Yes, he turned up on their doorsteps with a story about being in the prison welfare department.
I suppose he's insane.
For every gaggle of tricks like this who'll stand up in court to say he's off his trolley, there'll be another bunch to say he's as sane as the next man.
Is he married? What about his poor wife?
They split up 5 years ago. From what I could gather, he was almost pretty much of a loner. Well, he always will be now.
Promotion.
I'm suspended from duty.
What?
Suspending an inquiry into my improper investigative conduct.
What does that mean?
It means in my haste to catch Harris, I cut a few corners to the super found out. We've been waiting for an opportunity like this for years.
The inquiry, is it serious?
No, I shouldn't think so. Probably end up with an official reprimand or something like that. Of course, it does mean I won't make commissioner for a while, yeah?
How long before you find out?
Oh, years. The present guy's only been in the job a few months.
I mean, the inquiry.
10 days to a full month.
What are you going to do?
Well, I was thinking about putting my hand on your leg and quoting a few lines from Rambo.
You do, and I'll scream. I can't stand French poetry.
Oh, oh, oh.
You always like this at the end of a case. Actually, I meant, what are you going to do while you're suspended from duty?
Oh, I don't know. Catch up on some reading. Get round to fixing the car. But today, I am going to sleep for a long time. And tonight, I think I'll go to the pictures. Something easy to watch, something mindless.
That's perfect, then. After breakfast, you can sleep at my place, and then this evening, I'll take you to the flicks. My treat.
Hmm. What's on?
The nearest one is a choice of two. Screen one is a double bill, with Stud, followed by the bitch. Screen two is Bambi.
Bambi?
You still got your ABC Miners card. You might get in for half price.
Drive on, Thumper.
In Private Correspondence by Nicholas Stark. Robert Blythe played Detective Inspector Boyd. George Brooke was Philip Rowlands. Susan Redding, Amanda Wright. Caroline Stone, Susan Mantle. Chief Superintendent Bailey, Glyn Hooson. Harris, Jeffrey Morgan. Dyson, Terry Jackson. Savarin, Franny O'Loughlin. Detective Constable Lewis, Dewey Savage, P.C. Turner, John McAvoy, and Dave Turnbull, Dilwyn Owen.
Scott for life. No compensation.
The letters were read by Fiona Scott, Catherine Dimmery, and Irie Palfrey. Technical presentation by Mostyn Jones, Eddie James, Howell Jones, and Gwenly Thomas. Private Correspondence was directed on location in Cardiff by Adrian Morby.